Hey, my name is Jordan Sleed, and welcome to the Rediscovering Podcast. I love to write, and I'm doing my best to follow Jesus. So this is just a place for me to share things that I have been writing, thinking about, and most importantly, trying to live as I walk with God and rediscover what holiness is. Thank you so much for joining me. Here's today's episode. I want to continue a conversation we started a few weeks ago on the episode titled Art and Repentance. And I want to keep talking about this concept we have of artists or creative people. And what I want to do is look at how in the church world we often tie those kinds of people to the biblical idea of a prophet or a prophetic person. And the reason I want to talk about that is not just to critique one view and make you think that it's all wrong the way we've been thinking about it and blah, blah, blah. What I want to do is inspire hope in everybody's heart, especially the hearts that are like mine, who can have a tendency to think that art is meaningless and it's not real work in the kingdom of God. What I want to do is talk about that tie that we make between artist and prophet and maybe explore it a little more. So, there's my agenda. I want to inspire hope for myself and for you. So as we do that, I want you to take a second to imagine somebody you would describe as creative or artistic. Now, when you've got that picture in your head, think about the average day for that person. Think about what their house looks like, what their apartment, their room looks like. Think about what time they got up. What's their routine like? What's their lack of routine like? What's their job? Do they have one? Think about all these things. And think about what you feel toward that person. Now, most likely, if I asked you to describe an artistic person, this was a kind of leading question with the ways I asked you to think about them. Because usually when we think about that kind of person, we would think, yeah, they're smart and they're talented, but also they're lazy and they're disorganized and they're unpredictable. And you can't depend on those kind of people. They're kind of just all over the place, right? That's generally the picture we have, is this crazy hair. I don't know what else you'd add to the portrait. Just disorganized room. Everything's a mess. Their personal life is a mess. They got up at 3 p.m. Usually that's the picture we have. It's a stereotype. And as a person who's more bent toward making art and enjoys art, I know that when you desire that kind of career, it's a less traditional path, and it does lead you to look like you don't fit in to the organized systems of the day. So I get that. I get where the picture and the caricature comes from. Sometimes I would be up late working on song demos before school in high school, and sometimes my room would be a mess. You know, I would know where everything was, but it would be messy in there. And sometimes I would feel embarrassed. I would feel a tension when I was telling somebody I wasn't planning on going to college after high school because I was planning on doing music full time. So certainly, I could see how you would see my life as a life that was more bent toward chaos than order. And even if we look at, you know, successful people who are making tons of money, celebrity status people in the arts, you see lives that are often more characterized by disarray than organization. So though the caricature of the disorderly artist may have some merit and is grounded in some reality, I believe that it's ultimately misleading. And my purpose in saying that is not just to defend the creative community and call us to stop thinking a certain way, but I want to highlight that it's unhelpful to live by that stereotype and view creative people and view ourselves and creativity with that lens. I want to say that it's unhelpful because it skews our view of what creativity is for. And the unhelpful nature becomes obvious to me as a follower of Jesus because it's not at all compatible with a biblical vision of creativity, artistry, and ultimately of the prophetic. You know, in certain Christian circles, people make the connection between our modern concept of a creative and the biblical concept of someone with a prophetic gift. And while, no, that is not a one-size-fits-all, this always means that, but there is a tie, there's similar personality traits, similar ways of thinking. The connection isn't completely invalid. Typically, behind somebody writing beautiful music or telling incredibly meaningful stories or writing books, typically behind that kind of mind, there is a quality that is possessed by all the prophets, and that quality is a desire to know the truth and to reveal what's going on under the surface of our everyday lives. In that kind of gifting, there is a longing to seek and to know why, know the why behind everything. Ultimately, I think, to know God. And that's what spurs on so much of our art, whether it's in or outside of the church, a lot of it outside of the church, really. And while this is a useful connection to make and to investigate between artist and prophet, I also have to be careful not to conflate the kinds of people who live in the category of artist with those who fall under the category of prophetic, right? There are different kinds of people. The philosophy behind much modern creativity is that art exists for the purpose of self-expression and entertainment. Now, neither one of those things is evil, and both serve necessary purposes in the world and in the arts. But those two things, self-expression and entertainment, are not the driving force behind art that would fall under the category of prophetic. So what I mean might be easier to look at an example with. So take, for example, the last prophet before Jesus shows up on the scene, John the Baptist, John the Baptizer. Now, Matthew's description of John is that he's somebody who's preaching in the wilderness, eating locusts and wild honey. So certainly you think of that, and that character seems disorderly. He seems kind of crazy and unpredictable. And, you know, you don't have to just look at John. You can look at the theatrics of Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Ezekiel and think, okay, that's a crazy person. I don't know if I want to be around them. But it would be a mistake to confuse that attention-grabbing nature that they have and the less professional garb that they had. It would be a mistake to confuse those things with the integrity of their prophetic work and life. In fact, John may have been part of one of the most principled, orderly approaches to life known to the Jewish people, the Nazarite vow. I don't know if he was or not, but he didn't drink. And it's hard to imagine any one of the prophets without thinking that they lived incredibly principled lives, trying to live the things that they were preaching and prophetically saying. It's hard to imagine the creative life apart from alcohol, as a side note. And certainly, we look at John. This was a man who was acquainted with suffering and grief and confusion and despair. He was acquainted with all of those darker things, those disorderly things of life. And his connection to all of this did not become an excuse for carelessness, like we might think of an artist, but it drew him to look more deeply at his own heart and the lives being lived around him. And most prominently, it drew him to look at the Holy Spirit and his work. Now, the same could be said of the prophetic people who were before and after John. Despite the fact that they didn't fit in to the organized mold of society, they were among the most deeply principled, orderly people in their way of life. The prophetic gifting lends itself to a lifestyle of prayer, commitment to Jesus, which can't be carelessly lived, but it's an act of ongoing devotion and covenant and continual return. So, while the prophetic person may, like the modern artist, stand out because of perceived messiness, I think a deeper look at what we interpret as their messiness would reveal that this is a person who is deeply shaped by a lifestyle of obedience to a loving and attentive Father. Their life is actually more principled, more modeled around something than the people who don't understand it. The work there requires self-expression, like an artist. you know, the words of Psalm 139 highlight that our very lives are wonderful works of God. They're made to be shared. And that's a way of sharing the gospel, is sharing ourselves with people. And the difference in the modern Western idea of self-expression and the prayerful idea of self-expression is that in the modern expression, this tends to exist primarily because I want to get something from the people I'm expressing myself to. I share my art because I need you to love me. In a love-rooted, Jesus-oriented act of self-expression, on the other hand, I'm instead opening up to receive love from God, and then I'm giving my very life away to my brothers and sisters. Instead of needing people to give me something, I'm giving a gift. That's why these are gifts of the Spirit. So if we look into the disorderly life of the stereotyped creative, usually what we find is actually a longing for love, too. And for the creative prophetic person, the perceived disorder may actually be a revelation of somebody whose life is being deeply shaped by the order that God brings. So while the prophet might be entertaining, and they might be a marvel to behold as they know and express themselves, the foundational part of their work is the source from which it comes and the direction in which it is pointed. In other words, art that functions prophetically comes from lived experience and communion with God and flows out of this relationship for the sake of love. That's a lot different than our modern concept of art, but I think we can have a redeemed view of the artist who is a person is sharing their art out of love received from God and whose life is shaped by prayer and commitment and devotion. So if you find yourself as a person who is categorized as creative and you're wrestling with this kind of gifting and natural bent, embrace the messiness of it. It is inevitable that we will live like strangers when we're under these rulers that don't know and follow God. And of course, this lifestyle of revealing and knowing God will appear out of touch with reality. But to embrace it, the invitation is to become more and more acquainted with God through a lifestyle of prayer and listening and loving. It isn't through selfish, entertainment-based self-expression that we'll find deepest fulfillment for our creativity. It isn't through that we will be blessed and we will bless the world in turn. It is an ongoing lifestyle of disciplined surrender to God that we will express this kind of art that will not fade away. We're free to receive the love of God and share that through the artistic, creative avenues, and let that be the thing that impacts the world in a way that is lasting and loving. That's why I don't think the typical, stereotypical picture of a creative is entirely helpful when we come to thinking of the prophetic, because this requires devotion to Jesus. And out of it, we don't need to get something in return for the art that we give. Instead, we're free to give it away and be rooted in our source.